blessing and encouragement they are to me. Brother, you come on. My missionary.
You gotta flip both these on?
I think so. He'll tell you if you know.
There's only one switch on it. Is it on now? I'm from North Dakota now. I don't understand these things. We don't have technology up there. It's a joy to be back home. I always love coming in. At the same time, we miss being where God's called us. But we just come in to get plugged back up and go back up yonder. Give you a little update. We're relocating the church. A lot of preachers have told me, why are you doing that? And said, oh, don't do that. You're fixing to head into a big storm. And I said, we've already been through the storm. We're ready to go on now. But y'all keep praying for us. We're down in number. We've lost two families. And when these two families left, I'll just be honest with you, it put me through a pretty dark valley. I took it real personal. And I'll just be honest as I can be, the reason why they left, because I got tired of being a puppet preacher. And I mean that. I mean that with all my heart. I told my wife, I said, you know, it's pretty bad when you take a year and a half and you pour everything you got into two families. And they shake your hand and smile at you and hug your neck and say, I love you, preacher. I'm praying for you. Turn your back and they're taking that machete and sword and cutting you like you wouldn't believe. But I don't want to leave it on a downfall. It was pretty tough going through, but I'll be honest with you, God meant for me to go through that for a reason. And I learned a real quick lesson. Anything in a ministry you cannot take personally. You can't take it personally. And if y'all know me long, I'm pretty soft-hearted. And I took a lot personally. But I'm glad that God built me back up. And I'm really anxious to get back up there and get going. We've got a piece of land donated to us. And we may start building in the summer. I was praying about the spring, but we're all right. We're meeting in a house right now. And doesn't bother me a bit. Doesn't bother the families that are there. I've got three families that's been visiting. One of them will probably end up going back to Upper North Dakota, where they're actually from, as soon as the job opens up. But they're a joy to me. And the May family are the ones that stuck with us through it. And they're a blessing. They're a younger couple. They've got three kids. And I'm still not used to this Pastor Cook thing, Brother Byrd. I really ain't. One of their little boys come up and tugged on my jacket, and he said, Pastor Cook. And I said, yes, sir. He said, I love you. And I said, I love you too, son. He said, you are coming back to me, aren't you? I said, yes, sir, I'll be back. But anyway, we're just, I'm happy to, again, like I said, we're happy to be home. For a little while, get plugged in, get what we need. I've enjoyed preaching. We went to a revival. And last weekend this month, we're going down to Gateway. We got a Jubilee there. Brother Joe Arthur, Brother Tommy Steele, and his others, some preachers will be preaching down there. And I'm excited. I really am, just to go down there and soak up the Word of God and plug it in. But we'll probably be leaving February 4th and heading back up there. You can see the kids, they're growing. They're not little anymore. Emily's a young lady and scares me to death already. But she asked me the other day, she said, Daddy, I can get my license at 14. That's the law in North Dakota, isn't it? I said, yes, ma'am, but we're from North Carolina. And the law is 16 down there. But anyway, y'all pray for us. I appreciate y'all. Y'all mean a lot to us. I hope you realize that. A lot of folks had said, when you get up North Dakota, you'll forget about us. That ain't happening. That ain't happening. I really appreciate y'all, and I love y'all. And thank the Lord that our paths have crossed. I thank God for my time that was here at Maple Grove. I really do, because you folks just welcomed us and loved us and built us up for what God would have us to do. I hear folks like Brother Shane said, this family's been a blessing to me, and I have to shake my head and say, no. It's y'all that's blessed us. Just by loving us unconditionally. I came in here a stranger, but I didn't feel like one. And I thank God for that. I got what I needed here. And God sent us on our way. But anyway, y'all be praying for us. Know that we missions. I'll say this. I got a new friend that the Lord led my way, and I work for him. He's the superintendent, or not the superintendent, supervisor at the bus garage. I drive a school bus part-time. And got to talking with him, and been praying about his soul. He's kind of twisted. He just, he's part Lutheran. I don't know what he said. He said something about going to the E-Free Church, and then something about a Jehovah's Witness. He's struggling. He's just confused, evidently. But anyway, his name is Lee. Appreciate y'all praying for him. I was talking to him one day, and he said, "Preacher, I noticed you burning wood." I said, "Yes, sir. I like to burn wood and get that heated up." He said, "What kind of wood are you using?" I said, "I think we got cottonwood and then Dutch elm." And he said, "What kind of wood do y'all burn down south?" I said, "Locust." He said, "No, what kind of wood do y'all burn down south?" I said, "Locust." He said, "I said wood." I said, "Locust." And he kind of looked at me. He said, "You talking about them souped up grasshoppers?" So, Bert, I'll come by and get a couple pieces of that locust, let them know what it is. But no, y'all pray for Lee. I like him. He's a good feller, and been praying for him. And it's one the Lord's led my way, and we seem to click pretty good. Other than he's asking a lot of questions about the Scripture, and he's asked me a bunch of times what I believe in. And he's brought up a lot of stuff, and I've tried to walk him through it, and I can tell he's getting a little confused and stuff. And when you get into I've never seen anything like the Lutherans up there. I really haven't. One of the ladies that I work with, she drives another route. Her husband died. He had it was in October. He pulled out in front of a tractor trailer, and he stepped out into eternity. And I was... The school called and said, "We need you to go up." Alice is her name. So we need you to go up to Fargo. She's got a trip up there. We need you to pick the bus up. She doesn't know that he just died. Anyway, I went up with her preacher. They took a school car and we drove up there. And on the way up there, we were talking and I was praying. And the man turned around and looked and he says, "Are you praying?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Are you praying for Alice?" I said, "I'm praying for her and I'm praying for you because you're going to be the one to break the news to her. And it's not an easy thing. It can't be. I haven't had that. I hadn't had to do that. And I thank God, you know, in a way that I hadn't." But anyway, he said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm searching for the words to say." And we got a little bit further down the road. It was about a 2-hour ride. And as we got down, he kind of turned around and looked at me. He said, "You're the new pastor at that Baptist church, aren't you?" And I said, "Well, I've been here a little over a year and a half. I think I've passed the new part. But I am the pastor of the church, yes, sir." And he said, "Hey, we get together every Thursday, and we have a men's night out. Won't you come with us?" He said, "Every now and then we get drunk, but we don't get drunk that many times." He said, "Just come have a beer with us." I said, "I don't believe I can do that." He said, "It's biblical." And I said, "No, sir, it's not." But anyway, I won't get too far into there because it didn't go too far. But I went to the funeral, and what it grieved me over this funeral was there was no hope. I mean, he preached for 45 minutes, and he might as well have just been talking about the weather. And as he got up there and he started to pray at the end of the service, he prayed, and for about 5 minutes, he was calling upon the names of God. And I got to thinking, you know what? All I got to do is say God, and he's there. Nobody needs to. I mean, you could tell he was just expounding on his knowledge, making himself look good. At the end of the prayers, what got me, he said, "Lord, we come to you through the Catholic Church." I thought, where's the hope? Where's the hope at? That's where God's called me, and that country is Lutheran country. And you don't dare. You won't get nowhere going up to them and say, "Hey, listen, they're lying to you." They'll slam the door in your face in a heartbeat, trust me. But I've noticed Miss Alice, as we've been sitting, I haven't said nothing to her the whole year that I've been working with them. She sat down after that funeral, And she come over to me and she said, I want to thank you for being there for me. I want to thank you. And I told her, I said, Miss Alice, I'm praying for you. And the last time that I worked, now I don't drive in the snow. They don't shut schools down there. But I don't drive them buses in that snow. They know that. And they call me a riffraff. They said, you can't handle it. And I said, no, I'm not saying I can't handle it. I just ain't going to do it. But right before I got ready to tell them that was it for the winter, I looked over at her and she said, you know what? I said, what's that, Miss Alice? And she said, there's some questions I have for you. And I said, Miss Alice, anytime you want to sit down and talk, I'll be happy. And she said, I know that. She goes, the first question I got for you is this. That church has been there 50 years. And you're the only minister that I've ever seen not cram stuff down people's throats. And I thought that was a shame, to be honest with you. She said, you know, it's hard. And I said, I know it is. And I'm not lifting up me. God just sent me there for a reason. I didn't make me the way I am. God did. But I sure do enjoy being up there. I do. Even sometimes the rough and the kids, they love being up there and they see some things in the ministry. I told Preacher Carlisle, I said, I miss the day when a problem would come up and I'd say, here you go, preacher. It's all you. I don't have to deal with it. But anyway, that just comes with it. You learn. I wished I'd really listened to him when he said, son, put that alligator skin on and get it real quick because you're fixing to be thrown in there. But though it can be rough, I still would not have it any other way. I love what God's called me to do, and I wouldn't have it no other way. So y'all pray for us. That's a little bit of an update. We're like I said, I don't know of many preachers that get excited when they get down to basically one faithful family. But I'm excited. I am. I'm really excited about what God's fixing to do. Where we're relocating to, we're actually going to be 20 miles from 5 different towns. I think that's a blessing because I don't have to center in on one little town. But I've got 5 different ones within 20 miles. 3 other ones within 40 miles. That's exciting to me. That really is exciting. A lot of those Lutherans, if you got a church in town, they'll never go in there because they're afraid of who will see them pull into that parking lot. This area we're going to, nobody will see them pull into the parking lot. But anyway, y'all pray for us as we go. And again, we love y'all. Appreciate everything you do for us, the support you give us, the prayers, and the love that you definitely show me and my family. What a blessing y'all have been. Tonight I want to preach on a subject nobody headed nowhere. Take your Bibles and go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I've heard this preached a lot, and no doubt it's a familiar part of Scripture. I want God to give me liberty to preach, and this is where He led me tonight. The Bible says in verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, are led captive, silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. That key verse is number 5, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now I got into this and I got to studying this. And the first thing I see is when it says perilous times, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous times. I think we're seeing it today. I think we're seeing it in a big way today. Why? Because everything that follows in verses 2 through 5 shows me what we see today. I mean, I see kids that are disrespecting their parents in a big way, more so than I've ever seen it. Now, we've always said to mom and daddy, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, no, sir, no, ma'am. I grew up that way. I had family members and people that I come to call friends. They would say, you know what? You do that because of your military background. Well, that's true. All I've known is military. Daddy was in there for 22 years. I did some time in there. My whole family's been in the military in one form or another. But that's not where I got it from. I asked Mama, I said, you know what? They said, I hear that that's why we said it. She said, uh-uh. She said, son, I grew up in Spruce Pine or Burnsville, North Carolina. She never knew military. But she said, if I said no to my mama, my backside would have been wore out. If I'd have showed them any sign of disrespect, I would have gotten wore out. Wore out. People look funny, and I've got family members that look at me funny when my girls say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I don't care anymore. I don't care. Hey, listen, this thing of looking funny and being looked down on, it's not new to me. All my life people have looked down on me. It doesn't bother me a bit. But I'm glad that a higher power looks down on me and He leads me and gives me exactly what I need. You know what I see today? A lot of nobodies headed nowhere. A lot of nobodies headed nowhere. And I'll get what I'm saying here in just a second. As I got to studying this, I looked over in chapter 1. In chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, we see the call of a soldier of Christ. The call of a soldier of Christ. I got interested in that. And I got to thinking and I got to praying, Lord, who are the soldiers? You hear a lot of preachers. I love Brother Ralph Sexton Sr. used to get up and sing a song with a lady. I can't remember her name. But the name of the song is I Am a Soldier. I am a soldier. I got to thinking, Lord, who are the soldiers? Why don't you just get a mirror and look in it? Because if you're saved today, you're a soldier in God's army. But I'm not a preacher. It doesn't say preacher. I thank God that there's some good prayer warriors that are out there. Last time I checked, the greatest soldier was considered a warrior. A warrior. And oh, what joy it brings to me being up in that cold country. This weekend, the high temperature will be negative 15. Now, I thank God that my family and me will be up there before long and into that low, below zero weather. But you can ask my wife and my girls that we find warmth in knowing that we have some godly prayer warriors who are calling out our name unto God. You don't know how warm that makes me. When those two families, one of them come up to me, he stands about like this, and he was literally going to fight me. You know what he was going to fight me over? Because I got a little too loud behind the pulpit. Well, I thought, man, if you come down south and hear some preachers that really get shuck the corn, you'd be shocked. Because I ain't got loud. I told him, I said, I just raised my voice a little bit. Oh, that's too loud. God's not in that. I got a letter in the mail before I left. This feller's wife got down and wrote so many scriptures on how God is not in getting loud from the pulpit. She went as far as telling me, if you get loud and get behind that pulpit and get to screaming and hollering, then you're the devil's tool and not God's. I took her back in Isaiah where it says, cry aloud with a loud voice with the sound of a trumpet. I said, you know what? What are you going to feel like when the Lord steps up and that trumpet blows? You think it's going to be shh? It's going to be loud enough to break the graves wide open. I couldn't believe it. I just sat there and I said, this ain't even an issue. And I told him, this is what made him mad. I said, this is the stupidest thing I believe I've ever heard anybody bring up to a preacher. I said, if I was up in that pulpit, constantly screaming over nothing. And there's preachers out there that do that. You can tell the preachers that mean it for show or they mean it for God. It's clear. There's some out there that do it for show. I can tell you four of them, but I'm not going to do that. But you can tell those folks. I played a tape to a family of Brother Joe Arthur preaching. And it was one of those, he really got loose. And they said, man, that's some good preaching. Not this same family, but another family up there. And I thought, you know what? Some people will hear the word through nothing but tears. Some people won't even hear you murmur a word, but they'll see you living your life according to this scripture. And some people, they'll have to get the devil literally scared out of them. Who are we to say God's not in that? Who are we to say that? And I said, when I said that, this feller jumped up and he began screaming and came running at me. His finger in my face, he said, that's an idiot that gets behind that pulpit and preaches like that. And I remember standing up and looking at him, nose to nose. And I asked him, are you sure you want to do this? Because you're no longer messing with a preacher, but you're stepping all over God. Who are we to tell a preacher how to preach? What to preach, and how loud or how soft to preach it. We can't do it. I'm not a loud preacher. That shocks y'all, don't it? But it gets to me because I got to praying. A couple of weeks went by, and all of a sudden two men show up on my door, and here I am walking Emily back to the house. I remember bending down and saying, honey, go on in the house. And she said, Daddy, what's wrong? Honey, go in the house. This ain't going to be good. And those men stood there for 20 minutes, raking me up one end and down the other. And the one thing I kept asking them, tell me what I did wrong. That's all I want to know. You tell me chapter, verse, what I did wrong. Well, I just don't like it. I don't care if you like it or not. I let these folks lead me for a year and a half. I got up and preached on the love of God for over 6 months just to saturate them because of what they've been through. In some form or another, I hit the love of God. And I can tell you in my mind the time and date of their attitude changing when I started preaching on being a servant of the Almighty God. And we have to make some sacrifices. We have to turn loose of some things in this world. You know what I heard that day? I heard that day Brother Chris Poole came up from Alabama. And he's a preacher that he's got girls and they're all the time in dresses. And the first thing that come out of that brother's mouth was this. They're in dresses all the time. And the problem is? Well, that means we're going to start preaching dresses. I said, I ain't preach that. God ain't led me to preach that. Have I said anything like that from the pulpit? Well, no, but you're going to start doing it. And I tell you what, if you start doing it, I'm going to hit the door. Should have said, praise God, that's what I'm preaching on Sunday morning. Even in our churches, it scares me because there's a lot of nobodies going nowhere. That fella asked me, the same one that was getting on to me about that, he said, I want to teach the kids, and his girls are the age that I teach. And I kind of looked at him, and I didn't do it in spite, but evidently the Lord gave me the words. But I asked him, I just come right out and asked him, I said, what can you teach those kids that they have not already been taught? He said, what do you mean? I said, those kids are already respectful to everybody. No, sir, no, ma'am. They know the Bible. They've been brought up in nothing but the Bible. They've been grounded in the Scripture. They don't give a preacher a fit over how he's preaching. And they don't tell the preacher what he can and can't preach. But you do, and you think you've got something to teach them? And he kind of looked at me and I said, you're not teaching anything else anymore because I'm tired and you're done. That feller is a missionary from the state of West Virginia. I'm not going to call his pastor's name, and I'm not going to name his church. But I called his pastor, and this is what he told me. He's yours now. I don't want nothing to do with him. I said, I'm fixing to boot him out of here. He said, I don't care. I didn't have to boot him out. He resigned. He got tired. We sold the church building to the medical center next door. And we're in the process. We still got some stuff in it, but they give us till June because of the winter. We're in the process of moving everything out into a storage building over at Brother Daniel's house. But I got a phone call the other day. Now, the medical center's already bought the land and the building. The house still belongs to the church. And again, we didn't sell the church. We sold the building. We're still building the church. Okay? I get a phone call from the medical center. They said, we got one of your members down here, and he says he's got personal stuff in the church. What's his name? I ain't going to tell you. I said, I'll take care of it. And she said, is he one of your members? I said, no, ma'am. But I called him, and I told him. I said, they told me that you got some personal stuff there. He said, I didn't know you had the keys. You didn't turn the keys over to that medical center? What, do you think I am an idiot? That fella would have rifled through everything we got and took everything. But I asked him on the phone. I said, you got some personal stuff in there? He said, no, I didn't tell him that. They got him on a tape machine where he left a message saying, I have some personal stuff in the church I'd like to get. That's a missionary. A missionary. Been on the field for 6 years. What, 10 years, isn't it? Been up there for 10 years. I'm the third preacher he wrote. We got to be careful. I like what verse 5 says. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You say, why do you like that? Because it doesn't stop there, but God gives us an order. God gives us some direction here. From such, turn away. Does it say, from such, give them a little time, they'll change? Does it say, love them? Give them a little time, they'll change. No, it says, turn away. Why? Why? A year and a half, I have not seen one soul saved. Been to two doors in that town of Oaks that says, doesn't so-and-so go there? Well, yes, they do. Have a nice day. End of conversation. From such, turn away. Because you'll not see the growth. You'll not see any change. In fact, it'll hurt you if you hang on to it. You want to know the hardest thing to do? Turn away from somebody that you feel like God's put you in charge of. That you love. That's the same feller that brought me or did all he could do to get me up there. That's the same fella that fought so hard to keep that church open. Nobody headed nowhere. There's some things here, and I'm trying to hurry. I know it's supposed to snow, sleet. I got the farthest to drive, so I ain't driving nowhere. I'm going to walk down the fellowship hall and sleep. First thing I see is here is lovers of their own selves. No greater time than right now have we seen that prevalent. No greater time have we seen people that love themselves more than they love anybody else, more than they love God. But they love themselves more than anything. They're full of pride. They're full of joy over the things of this world. They lift up their self rather than God. This same individual, and I hate bringing it up, but it's part of it. I mean, it's what I know. It's what I've been through. He would do what they call a Saturday Bible club for the kids. And he kept doing it, and he would put up there, hosted by, and it'd have his name and his wife's name. And I kept telling him, do you need your name on that? Do you really need to press your name? I don't think so. Brother Joe Arthur, listen, I heard him preach, and I thank God I did. But one service I heard him preach in, he got up, come to the pulpit, went right to the piano and played a song. The altars filled up. He played for some 15, 20 minutes. The altars kept filling up. He came back to the altar and looked at Brother Stewart and said, Brother Ray, people have come from miles around just to hear me preach. And if that's the reason they came, they're here for the wrong reason. My respect level for that man just hit past the roof. My name don't matter. Your name doesn't matter. If you got to put your name on it, something's wrong. If your name has to be there, something is wrong. Why do we need to even show that we're lifting ourselves up? Now I'm just like anybody else. I love to see the growth in me. I love to see the maturity in me, but I ain't nothing without His name. And that stuff don't happen without His name. It sure don't happen with my name. A lot of folks used to say, hey, I remember Marvin Cook. Isn't he the son of Marvin Cook Sr.? He's junior. That's him, yes. The son of a drunkard? That's him. The one who's following this daddy's footsteps? That was me. And I watched people disgust say my name. But the day that I got saved, the day that I went down to that altar, my Lord said, I care about you, son. And I got up singing a new song. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. My name changed. I'm still Marvin, yes, but no longer was I associated with that old stuff. I have a name now. I wasn't proud of that name I had before, but I sure am proud of the name I've got now, because it's the name of Jesus and nothing else. The same Marvin Cook that was running around with his daddy and drinking was a nobody headed nowhere. But thank God now I'm somebody. And you better believe I'm headed somewhere. And it ain't here on this earth. I like that other song, I'm in the glory land away. I like that song, Brother... I can't remember his name, slips me now. Beulah Land. Oh, I'm longing for that land. That's my home. I'm somebody, and it ain't me. It ain't because of me, but it's all because of him and the joy that he feels. I want my kids not to be lovers of their own selves. I don't want to see kids to be lovers of their own selves, but I want to see them love the Lord because he first loved them. I love to hear kids sing that song, Jesus Loves Me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I love to hear them sing, He's still working on me, making me what I ought to be. That's right where they ought to be. We ought not say anything against it. I've seen too many kids today being led away by parents that just simply say, listen, do what you want to do. Now, you know, we've got three of them. And Little Hope, she's a little different. She knows exactly what to do. And she knows she's got Daddy wrapped around that little finger. The other day I got on to her and she come up to me and she just went, real big grin. And I thought, oh man, my heart melted right there. I was fixing to punish her and I couldn't do it. She made me laugh. And Emily's sitting over there going. What I want them girls to see and grow up is this. There's no other hope than in Jesus. And they can't find the answer in their name. But in His name, they find everything that they need. I want to hurry along. lovers of their own selves. They lift up self rather than God. They think that they know more than God. They serve themselves rather than God. I want to ask you something. Why is this tattoos and body piercing so big today? Because it's screaming, look at me. It's sending one message and one message only. Look at me. Wouldn't to God that we'd have that attitude. Don't look at me, but look at Him. Look at Him. Somebody came to me and said, hey, look at this tattoo. I don't want to see it. And don't show my girls either. Stay away from them. Don't show them that junk. I don't want anything to spoil or rot what they're being taught. The Word of God. And I'm not just hard on that. The way people dress today, you know it like I do. I'm not trying to be hard on anything. I'm really not. What I'm speaking is the truth. And if you'd be honest, you'd say, I know it is. Because there's nothing else. It's just look at me. Look at what I got. I saw one kid, he had tattooed around his arm, I fear no man. Oh, well, you may not fear no man, but you're going to fear God. And that individual probably looked at me and said, no, I don't. Well, you don't today. But one day, you will. You'll wish you had feared Him earlier. They want to look at themselves rather than God. Self-glorification is their own desire. Their name is placed above His name, but not for long. Psalms 109:13 says, let His posterity be cut off, and in a generation following, let their name be blotted out. What we do today is affecting every little kid that you see in this place tonight. What we do, what we say, our actions. Brother Derek, that scares me. It does. I'm honest with you. Not for your girls, but for my own. You know what I'm trying to get at. But that does, that scares me. That my little girls, I can walk and hear little footsteps behind me. And I have to often stop and say, did they really just see what I just did? Did they really hear what I just said? Did they hear me give somebody an attitude? Little things go a long way to children today. Some of the things that I remember in my childhood, my own daddy and my own mama don't remember. I walked behind my daddy's shoes, and at 10 years old, told daddy I was thirsty. Here, son, have a beer. Have a beer. You think I want three girls to go through that? Emily, you'll be 12 years old. I ever offered you a beer? Why? Because I know what it'll do. That same preacher that I told you about earlier invited me to go on Thursday night, men's out. Said, what's the problem with alcohol? And I said, well, sir, I might as well just put the Bible down because I already know you and me don't agree on it. Let me just give you some staggering truth. How many families have been blown apart by Budweiser? How many wives have been torn? Lives, the marriages have been torn apart. How many people are going around today mourning over the loss of their loved children because of a drunk driver? And you're going to tell me there's good in that. So when you put it like that, you make it look pretty bad. I don't know of any other way it can look. I'm not going to lie to you. I used to like the stuff. I used to have fun. But I also remember my daddy had fun. They've been divorced now for 22 years. And every time I go around my daddy, you know what the first question he says? How's your mama? Every time I go around my mama, you know what the first question she usually says? How you doing, son? Second question, how's your daddy? You can't pick up the broken pieces. You can't fix that hurt. And you might as well call wrong, wrong, and let it go at that. Because it's nothing good. I'm trying to hurry. I hope y'all got a good supper. Proverbs 10:7 says, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. I'd rather have a good name, wouldn't you? If it ain't Jesus, it's going to rot. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Hey, I don't know about you, but I want a good name. And the only way that, you know, a good name, it says a good name is chosen. A good name is rather to be chosen. Who chooses a good name? Where does it start? I heard one preacher get up and tell me, he said, you choose your direction. I agree with that. And he said, you choose your good name. Now the direction I agree with. But when I got saved, the only name I chose was Jesus. And where I'm getting at is this. There's some responsibilities and duties that we need to do, yes. There's some things and lines and parameters that we need to go by and not cross, yes. But our name is nothing without Jesus. So in actuality, He chose us. And if we keep our eyes on that, if we stay focused upon Him, I knew one young man, or he was one of my uncles, that when he was young, he told me, he said, and they backed it up, the family did, he ain't never done nothing wrong to nobody, but he told me, he said, I don't need God. I don't need Him. Died at a young age. And I remembered his words. He said, I don't need Him. Though that man had done nothing wrong, he still split hell wide open. Though that man had a good name according to this earth, according to men's statutes, he didn't have the name of Jesus. So I don't want a good name. I want a great name. And the greatest that I can pick is Jesus. And if I keep my eyes on Him, I ain't got to worry about anything else. If I just stayed focused upon Him, I ain't got to worry about anything else. Because if I'm looking at Him, He's already laid my pathway out. He's already fought my battles. And He's already won. All I have to do is follow. He makes me. I don't make myself. Preacher told me I have to make myself get up in the morning and pray. But, oh Lord, you're in a world of hurt, brother. I don't pray to make myself, or I don't have to make myself pray, because I know I need Him. As a daddy, without God, I am worthless. I'll just be truthful. Y'all know the story and you've heard me tell it time and time again. The only way that I knew how to raise kids, the only way that I was taught, is a very bad way to raise kids. But I thank God He stepped in and said, here's these three precious gifts I've given unto you. Let me show you how to raise them. Let me show you. And I thank God He's showing me. I thank God that I look at my kids. And I pray every day, Lord, please don't let them be nobody headed nowhere. but make them somebody headed somewhere. This world is full of turmoil. Kids are disrespectful to their parents. They're prideful. They're unthankful. They're disrespectful. Hey, we got to go 2 hours to a Walmart. We like going to Fargo because there's other stores in there, but Aberdeen's a little closer, South Dakota, but they don't have as many different stores. They may be a little cheaper, but anyway, we go to Fargo a lot, and you can ask my wife, I hate Walmart. I hate it. You want to know why? I go into Walmart, and I've got a buggy, and I've got Emily here, and Kenzie's somewhere around there, and Hope's in there, you know, and I'm walking, and they're close to the buggy. And there's people almost running them over. And they just look, what's your problem? That's the look they give. One of them hit Mackenzie one day, and well, I think I bit my tongue to the point of bleeding. There's a lot of disrespect out there today. Kids don't care what they say. I know if he's not 20, he's going on it. And I'm not even going to apologize for this next statement. But all that he's not a young man. He's a punk. That's all he is. And this individual that I'm saying, he's close to my heart. I pray for him. But anybody that'll stand in their daddy's face and want to punch him and pull a gun on him and say, Daddy, I'll kill you if you don't let me go. How'd he get where he's at today? That feller's daddy asked me that. And I looked at him and I said, I'd like to tell you, but I love you. And it'll hurt you. He stood there and shook his head. He said, I don't care. He said, I want you to tell me, why is it so bad? Why is it so tough? Why didn't you listen to us when they were little children? We gave you the warning signs. We kept pleading with you. Get them in church. He'd go to spank the youngin' and the wife. She'd come behind him, nearly fighting mad at him. Don't you hit him no more. Right there in front of the youngin'. You can ask my kids this. The one thing that burns me up, if they come to me and ask me something and I say no, and I find out they went to their mama, that's a bad night. Vice versa. I caught him on this one. One of the, I believe it was Mackenzie, I'll call her out. But she come to me and asked me something. I said, did you ask your mama? Yes, sir, I did. What'd she say? She said, no. Why are you asking me? And she'd stop. She'd go, uh-oh. When parents collide, the kids know exactly what to do. And they'll take that and run with it. That family split up today. A young 20-year-old doesn't have a job, lives off his mama, calls his daddy, that I need money. Need you to come get me. Said, Marv, what do I do? Don't go get him. Don't give him money because you know where it goes. Just stop. But I love him. If you really love him, then you'll stop. It ain't easy being a parent. I love what Brother Shane said sometime before we left. He said sometime ago he got to calling his daddy buddy. You remember that? He put a stop to it, didn't he? I'd rather be a daddy to my kids than a buddy. Because if I'm a daddy, then my kids know I love them with every ounce that I have within me. I wonder why kids are so bad today. Because we as adults, as parents, have dropped the ball. I sat up and I started doing a little bit of janitoring work at the high school. A little bit last year, quit before I come up here. But I'd watch these kids, and I would go in there and clean the classroom, and I noticed up on the wall it said, spanking is no longer a good way of discipline. Although it ain't never been a good way. It's been a good, real good, real, real good way. It's a big deterrent. Yes, ask Mackenzie. She's had so many of them. I better not do that. Daddy's going to get me. But it's a good deterrent. You know it as well as I do. I'm not saying beat them. But anyway, I was reading this little poster up there. It says, don't raise your voice to a child. I thought, good night. They ain't been in contact with the three I got. Sometimes I have to get pretty loud. And when I do get loud, they stop. I mean, I asked one of them teachers, I said, when you speak to a child that's in there, and believe me, it was a fourth grade child, and this child was cussing her. I said, how do you talk to her? She said, now sit down. You don't want to say this no more. You don't mean what you're saying. Just sit down, and I'm going to put you in timeout for a little bit. Call your parents. Well, calling my parents ain't going to do no good. Because if a fourth grader's already talking like that, there's something wrong in the home. And they wonder why I homeschool. Well, I can't say I, because my wife does the majority of it. But they wonder why we homeschool our kids. I'm not saying every word is bad, but you hear it as well as I do. You know they're bad. And they're going to get worse. And they're going to get worse and worse. What price do we pay for what we so-call education? It's not worth it to me. It's not worth it. I was talking to one of the teachers up there, and I said, just by curiosity, what age do you start, or what class do you start teaching sex education? Third grade was the answer. Oh, we institute a little bit. It's a real big watered down. I don't care if it's watered down to your standards or not. You ain't teaching my kids that junk. How about when you start pushing your so-called safety on them? Well, we start that seventh grade. My. It's not your place to teach my youngin' that stuff. You can keep your grubby hands off my kids. One teacher told me, she said, there'll come a time when you have to school your kids in our school system. I said, no, there won't either. You can try. You can threaten all you want to. Not mine. Not the way it's going today. Now, there's a reason why I'm so heavy on that. I know a lot of y'all grew up in here, but I didn't. And I went around in so many different school systems. I fell through the cracks. It's a shame when a young boy goes to a teacher and is screaming, help me. Help me. My daddy's beating my mama, and we don't know where the next meal's coming from. You know how much help we got? Zero. Ain't no wonder I started the bottle pretty young. You know who gave me my first bottle of liquor? A teacher. So now you know why we have such a drive to homeschool our kids. Because I don't trust them. I'm not saying there's not good teachers. I'm not saying that. But there's more bad than there is good. I asked the principal, the superintendent also, I said, why? Why do you teach these kids this young? Why do you teach, and they teach homosexuality in the school system up there. They've got a book on it. I went into the library one day and I said, can you just give me one good book on a good Christian's life? A bibliography or biography, whatever. I don't care what it is. Just give me a good book on a Christian. They said, well, I need to know a name. I was like, C.H. Spurgeon. He's well known. We don't have that. You got any kind of book in this library on Christianity? We can't do that. This ain't a school library. This is Oaks Public Library. Public. My daughter's looking for a good Christian book to read. Went and got a book off a bottom shelf. Caught my eye for some reason. Opened the pages. And it gave explicit detail about some behavior that you and I don't agree with. I'm not going to go, you know where I'm going with it. And I'm talking explicit detail about a party that young kids went to and they were encouraged to perform acts. These acts were spelled out clearly by vulgar name after vulgar name. I took that book up, set it down. Can my daughter get this book? Can I stop my daughter from getting this book? No, sir, you can't. You see what scares me? I used to be ignorant to those statistics, but I refuse to blame ignorance on it any longer. Well, we want your kid for band. We took her up there for band for a little while. She let her play the flute. She loved it and enjoyed it. She loved playing volleyball. We took that and I loved that for a while. Till I began to hear some of the girls her age start talking and how they act. She doesn't go anymore. So, well, what are you doing socially? We go about 5 hours away to a good family we know that's got kids their age that love the Lord. And we hold tight to our kids. The Earwoods, they've got a lot of kids. The DeLangs, they've got quite a few kids. But I'm not ashamed of the name that God's given unto me. And the name that I want to pass on to them is this. Jesus. 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 There's a whole lot of nobodies going nowhere. But I'm glad I'm somebody going somewhere. I think we're seeing this thing. I honestly feel it. We're seeing this thing wrap up. The Lord's getting ready. I've heard it, Brother Derek, I've heard it all my life. But I've never felt it like I do today. And you know what I say? Lord, come on. Come on, I'm ready. Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Why? Because I'm going somewhere. And it sure ain't here. Father, I do love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, to help us hold on to the principles you've given unto us. Help us, Lord, take your book, the word of the Bible. Help us take it and hide it in our hearts. Hold tight to it. Raise our children up as you tell us to. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes totally focused upon you. Watch over us as we go our separate ways. Be with Preacher Carlisle as he be traveling. Lord, I ask that you just give him what he needs. What a blessing he's been to me. Father, all because he's held tight to you and loving on you. Father, I plead, Lord, that you shelter Maple Grove and every family of this church. You overshadow them with your wings and your love. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you for the blessings. Thank you for being so good to us as a church family. Father, every face is engraved in my memory. Father, there's some that we've prayed with. We've went through some hard times. God, I'm glad that I see a people that love you and hold tight to you. Help us, Lord, hold our heads up high and keep our eyes focused upon you. For there ain't one of us in here tonight that has a reason to hold our head down in shame. Because, Lord, you said we're yours. Father, I'm glad that I can take this Bible and open it up. And as you say in Psalms 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thank you, Lord, that you'll never leave us. Help us cling tight to you. We'll be careful to give you the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.